Wagwan, Mr. Maps.
Yo, what it do, what it is.
What it is, big man, are you alive and kicking?
Yes, sir, we good, we all right. We are there, just firing up all engines.
Alive and kicking, that is.
Yeah.
Yes. No. We are a week removed from Valentine's. We give thanks. I'm glad that's done and dusted.
The plans, they follow through. You're good. You're covered for the year.
Yeah, I'm covered for the year. Otherwise, it's all good.
I see.
Valentine's went well. I hope everyone else had a good one.
Yeah, I also hope that as well. It's always a dangerous time, you know, for some of our listeners. They discovered Uguti, they were, you know, not on full-time contracts. You know, others discovered they were lone players. Others discovered, you know, paperwork was never sent through. You remember that famous Courtois transfer?
Yeah.
I think Chelsea was
the Courtois one. There was the De Gea one.
Well, they said the fax machine wasn't working. Was that Chelsea or Man United?
It was Man United with De Gea. He was meant to go to Madrid. And he wanted to go to Madrid. And he'd even, like, submitted a transfer request. And then Van Gaal benched him. And then on the last day of the transfer window, the fax machine wasn't working at United or something like that.
So he stayed.
And he stayed for another 8 years.
Wow.
Now he's a free agent.
Toxic ex.
But I mean, it was good. It's always interesting that the week following Valentine's, I'm a post-mortem. And the Twitter threads and the, this happened, or I didn't get anything, or... You know, people take it seriously. But I'm curious as to... So after Valentine's dinner, we went out with my sister. And then she was chilling with like a whole bunch of older people. And it's interesting how they don't care about Valentine's.
What do you mean?
I'm not sure if it's like just toxic older black men, or if it's like they genuinely don't care. But the guys are just like, no, Valentine's, no, there's no need, no. I'm just like, huh? I'm as witty, yini, whether it's just an older generation of black guys, because at the restaurant, we didn't see any older black couples. It was just, well, obviously it's Cape Town as well, so sometimes you never know with these things. Maybe in Joburg is different, but I know we were the only black people there. But at the same time, I when we then spoke to, you know, they called themselves Abogrootman. Like, no, Valentine's and Dwana, Valentine's na and Dwana. Those things, I'm like, eh? Because we were coming from, literally, we went from dinner and then we met up with them in town. Like, yeah, no, man, Valentine's, no, it's not important. It's just capitalism, it's the hype, it's childish. I'm like, hey, okay.
I mean, technically speaking, it's true, but it's just like we said last week, like, if your person sees it as something that they care about, then you go with it, right? So, like, neither me or you necessarily care about the day, but, you know, you do what you need to do because, you know, you don't want to be fighting, what is it called? Philosophical and ideological arguments with your person on Valentine's Day.
When your person's got genuine feelings, and then when you want to try and rationalize and
those
debates about whether or not ideologically Valentine's is a cool thing.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. But either way, what was your takeaway from Abu Khutman? How did you feel about that discussion?
Yeah, some of those guys at that age, Ogunye, it's a bit... Ogunye, it's sad because you can tell Uguti there's trauma there.
So Khutman needs counseling.
Yeah, you can tell Uguti, Ogunye, trauma. I actually told you about one of the guys. The guy who picked up the bill when we went out last week. I can't...
Billy Emeline.
Hayi Billy Benkulu.
Billy Malin mo.
Hayi Benkulu, Benkulu. Yami ngisabukutsho. Ngisabukutsho sibi. But this guy, I think he recently got divorced. So ubumuzwa ukuthi nxa ekhuluma sithi you know, Valentine's, man, Valentine's don't matter. No, what matters is that you love each other. You know, one day, okay.
Well, lele.
yeah.
Velo, but it was a good... It's like, yeah. Speak. Zakar. But, We pray that you know, everybody had a great Valentine's, an exciting one, or rather, you know, people like doing this online. You know, we pray that you had the Valentine's that you deserve. I think that's the best way to put it. But you know, it's over. You know, you can move forward. You can, you know, come back to Instagram for those who are dramatic enough to delete it. You've missed everything else, so you know you don't need to worry about it. But yeah, Mr. Moy, there's quite a few things. There's quite a few things on the docket that we can get into. I'm just trying to see what will, you know, to warm up the engines, what we can start with. We can do some results. We had a quick debate last week on.
Wait, have we introduced the pod?
Chris Brown.
I've forgotten if we did that.
Oh my God, we did not introduce the podcast. Yo, kuningi guys, kuningi. apologies guys. As you know, this is 6 Foot Weights, your favorite hour with your favorite cheese boys. My name is Tabo.
And my name is Senna.
And yeah, you should already know who this is. You know, you should already know who this is. Like, but we apologize. We will. Next time, since Afaga is structured properly, and you know, I think we should do like Brilliant Idiots, where it's like straight up, first thing they say is the intro. And they just move on. I think that's the honestly the best way to go about it. But anyway, we talked about the catalog, Chris Brown versus Usher. So we put out a tweet, Mr. Moyo. Did you take a look at the results on the poll?
Yeah, I took a look at the results on the poll. I think you should stop running polls, Mr. Maposa. Generally speaking,
no. People listen. It's either one of two things. Number one could be I'm just a, you know, a contrarian. I just like to be a contrarian, or people are just wrong. I'd go with the latter. I did start off the debate by saying I am a huge Usher fan, right? So this wasn't I'm not Usher slander or anything. But it's just I just think my argument was more or less respect Chris Brown. And the people disrespected Chris Brown.
I don't think so.
No, 70%. So for anyone who doesn't know, so 70, we put out this was the poll that we put out. Based on this week's episode, who has the better top 10 catalog? Yeah. Chris Brown or Usher? Mm-hmm. And 70% of our respondees, we had quite a lot of voters. 90 is a pretty decent sample size. Mm-hmm. Who voted. And yeah, 70% of them said they would go with Usher. Usher has a better top 10 catalog, of which
were you surprised by that? Like, were you like genuinely surprised? Why?
Genuinely, because like I said, respect Chris Brown. I think Chris Brown's catalog is, especially if we're just talking top 10. Mm-hmm. I can understand Usher still winning, right, in terms of overall numbers, right? But like, I expected more of a 55, you know, percent, 60% win, something like that. That's what about 70-30 is definitive, and it is not definitive in my eyes. It is it's like you have to sit down and go song for song and see, you know, what's the situation. And my conclusion just became, and it's kind of the topic that we'll kind of shift into, is that this is more of an indictment on Chris Brown as a person.
No, I don't think so.
I think it's less so about the music, just because at the end of the day, like, he's made some amazing music, guys. It's not a 70-30 difference. Like, that's... Mm-mm. But anyway, what are your thoughts?
I actually listened to the pod again, and then some of the songs you listed when we were doing that top 10 thing, do you know a lot of people don't even know? So I think
Which song do people not know? Give me an example.
Snap. Now I have to go back to the list. Things caught you. But there were some where I literally was like, no, but do I know that song?
Aye.
I'm actually you, being
first
for real.
Of all, for you know, you're different. You're different.
How am I different?
Any of the songs that I listed, those were hits, bro.
Some of them weren't. Some of them were just songs that were out there. Right? Some of them, it's not like they were like hits. Like, there's a difference between me saying, you know what, I like the song Lose Control by Timbaland featuring JoJo. Like, I think that's a powerful tune. But unfortunately, it's not a top 10 tune.
Which one is Lose Control?
The way you love me, damn, got me going around. Think I'm losing control. The way you love me, But I like it. I think it's probably one of Timbaland's best works. But unfortunately, really? When it comes to... Yeah, it definitely is. During the days of Bluetooth Chief. Sending... Oh, dude, Lose Control was powerful.
You have Timbaland. You have Promiscuous Girl. You have Ayo. You have... what's that one from Step Up? Bounce? Like, come on. Like, half of Justin Timberlake's beats are produced by Timberland.
Yeah.
Okay, but again...
So that's why I then said... That's why I then said... I actually think, look, in terms of top 10 hits, I wouldn't even have an argument about Lose Control being a top 10 song.
Yeah.
Because, unfortunately, it's a good song, but it's not. So, for example, here's something that I think. So, when I listed Usher's top 10 songs, I was like, oh my gosh. And then you were like, no, but Deuces, they're not comparable commercially.
Deuces?
Mm-hmm. It didn't touch OMG. Bruh. Or DJ Got Us Falling in Love. It was a good song.
I don't know.
But I think there's that distinction. I don't think it's disrespect of Chris Brown. I just think people...
I think it's disrespect.
I think people took your question as you drafted it. Who has the better top 10 catalog?
Guys, Deuces.
Not who's more talented. Not who's more...
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Because that's subjective.
Just quality of music. I don't know. Like I said... If the conclusion is still Usher wins, sure, I'm not debating that, right? All I'm just saying is that I just think it's a closer conversation. You know, like, I don't know. Because you guys are making it seem like Chris Brown is on, like, a Trey Songz type of level.
Actually, you know? I think he's just better above, you know, Trey Songz. But even when they come up with songs that, for example, Usher has a year. And then Chris Brown has a year times three, right?
Mm-hmm.
Both big songs, but one is bigger than the other.
No, but I mean, Usher's year is legendary. That one is like, you know what I mean? Like when he performed that, the Super Bowl, like the halftime show, it went to another level. Chris Brown's year, it's just, you know, there was a phase where like techno was really big. Or 2013, 14, somewhere there. There was a time when everyone was trying to get into techno, Nicki Minaj, all these different hip hop artists were trying to get into techno. So like that one is, it's a nice song. I'd sooner replace Yeah with Beautiful People, because I think Beautiful People with Benny Benassi is a beautiful song. That's an amazing, like,
it is. It's a beautiful blend of techno. I like that song more than a lot of Usher's songs. But yeah. I don't think objectively it touches some of Usher's best work.
Okay, all right. Let's see. I'm gonna let it go because I have another debate that I meant to text you to prepare, but I'll spring it on you. Let's see. We might have to pick it up next week. But this one is a bit closer to the wheelhouse. I'll leave your cogs. Let your cogs start spinning now.
Okay.
Top five most influential artists to the Amapiano genre. So we'll leave that. We'll get back to that just towards the end of the podcast. But just, you know, start thinking about that in the background. Put that, save it in drafts. We'll come back to it. So speaking of Chris Brown, very, very interesting issue came up. So he posts, this past weekend was NBA All-Star Week. And for anyone who doesn't know what All-Star Week is, it's kind of like, it's not really, it signifies the middle of the season, but honestly, it's like almost three quarters of the season is done. But yeah, it's just a breaking point where your normal NBA schedule is about per team, 3 to 4 games a week. That's a normal NBA schedule, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a 1 week break where teams can just go, players can just go on vacation, relax, just take a deep breath, and then gear up for the last 26 games of the season and mm-hmm. prepare for the playoffs if you're making a playoff push, right? So it's just de-stress, refocus, let's go on a run. And then the best of the best, the All-Stars, are invited to do like our dunk contest, three-point competition, the yeah. All-Star game, which is, you know, just for the fans, right? So that's what All-Star Week is. So the first part of All-Star Week is the celebrity All-Star game. So yeah. celebrities, world, global celebrities are invited. They, you know, the NBA handpicks, which is funalo, lalo, lalo. So you have the likes of, you know, like, for example, J. Cole, who else, like some of these other YouTube influencers, like Speed, for example. I think Speed was once in a celebrity All-Star game. Kevin Hart was in it for like 3 years straight. He was in the celebrity All-Star game. So like just your celebs, right? Your non-professional NBA playing celebs are in mm-hmm. this All-Star game. Like this year, I think yeah. Jennifer Hudson as well, she was on the team. So yeah, come in. I think Obama maybe, if I remember correctly, but or one someone from the White House played. But yes, just anyone, if Senna knows how to play basketball and Senna's freaking famous, play. Yeah, you get the invite. Mm-hmm. So Chris Brown was invited initially, according to Chris Brown. He says, hey, I'm sick and tired of the NBA. You guys are just jerking me around. I was invited to the celebrity All-Star game. And mm-hmm. then they got back to me a little bit later and they said, oh, I can't come anymore. Or I can't participate in the game because some of our sponsors are not cool with him participating. That's yeah. what the NBA said to Chris Brown. So apparently yeah. the NBA rep says, some of our sponsors like Ruffles, and Ruffles is an American chips brand, so like Lay's, for example.
Yeah.
So they're like, yeah, Ruffles isn't cool. So that was the company that was specifically dropped in the communication. Yeah. So now people, obviously, this is the shade room that drops this story. So people are now like, ah, hey, what the hell? You know, how is Chris Brown still paying for something that he did when did he do it? 2009? The Rihanna altercation. Yeah, I think it was back way. It's been a while. So people are like, oh, it's been a while. Why is he still paying for that? And you know, like both parties have moved on, and you know, he's paid his time. He's paid his dues. Like, you know, allow, right? And that was my reaction mm-hmm. too, because I'm like, ah, bruh, like what kind of sponsor is like still at this point, like. Yo, I think there needs to be, because I was just questioning in terms of, at a societal level, when is it okay, right? When can people, you know, even if they try to be better, when can they get access to opportunities, right? If you do something of that nature, if you fuck up, like, at what point is it okay? Is it never okay, right? And that's a genuine question to ask in our society today. Like, are you done? Like, you mess up, like, yes, he struck, he beat up Rihanna, and that happened, and he was crucified for it, rightfully so, right? No one is here defending that particular incident. But at what point, right? So because if it's 2009, more than 10 years later, are we still saying Chris Brown shouldn't get access to opportunities, right? Is that the conversation that we're having? That's the question out there. So that's how I felt. And I was scrolling through comments, seeing what people are saying and stuff like that. Where the plot thickened is that a few hours later, Ruffles then responds on their Instagram account and says, yay, guys, yes, we sponsored the All-Star Weekend, the Celebrity All-Star Weekend, what. We're a sponsor mm-hmm. of the NBA, a partner of the NBA. However, we had no influence or impact yeah. on who are the celebrities who are picked for this game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they came, it's not us. Yes, we sponsored, but please, mm-hmm. Leave us out of the rest. So I was like, oh, okay. So now the NBA hasn't said anything, at least to my knowledge. The NBA hasn't officially put out any statement. I think they're mizing, because it's been a few days since Chris Brown put that out, right? So I stumbled across a comment, because I really kind of felt bad for the dude, in the sense that, like, damn, bro, like, just it's a celebrity game, play basketball, whatever. Because mm-hmm. he said that the NBA offered, said, ah, no, but you know what, we'd still like you to sit courtside at the game. And he was like, nah, Liang Tirel, y'all taking me for idiot, for Seganin. Like, mm-hmm. that's disrespectful. So he yeah. declined the NBA's invitation. So he's posting these screenshots or emails or whatever communications that he was having mm-hmm. On his Instagram. So then I stumble across a comment that this one lady put out there. She says, hey, you guys, it's not about Rihanna. Because again, 90% of the comments are like, hey, you know, hey, the Rihanna thing has happened. Like men and women, right? Hey, mm-hmm. the Rihanna thing has happened. Like, let's forgive. Like, hey, why are we still blocking this man out? Like, you know, da 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 da. You know, everyone was on a soapbox with Chris Brown. So this lady goes, guys, the problem is that y'all don't have access to information. This is not a case of him dying for the Rihanna situation. He's had multiple altercations and accusations since the Rihanna thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? Because I was like, okay. So I thought there's maybe, because people talk out of their ass.
Yeah.
But I found an article. It was a USA Today article. Let me see if I still have it. Bro, they were listing things like since the Rihanna Adam, maybe like 4 or 5 things that were listed there. Where again, I don't think he was indicted of anything, or, you know, he never got to that point. But in terms of accusations, allegedly, I was like, damn. Mm-hmm. So again, now if that's all factual, from a sponsor's point of view, whoever that sponsor was, if it wasn't Ruffles, I get it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, but if you're constantly in the news for that type of behavior, then it's like, for me, I thought he hasn't had an incident since Rihanna.
No, he's
had. And if that was true,
he's got a rash.
Then I was like, it's really messed up. I was like, no, you guys, you people are messed up for trying to close that door. But if what I read was true, hey, I'm tense. Oh, yeah. So I found the article. Okay, so let me scroll to the, so you know, it's so hard reading news articles these days because the ads, bro.
Mm.
Like, there's so many ads,
especially if you're reading like Daily Mail or whatever it is.
It's just, then the worst ones are the ones that like start a little video in the corner, and it's like, bro, like, just let me scroll. Let me see here. So we'll talk when posted, so you could see accusation. Okay, yeah. So Brown has been accused of domestic violence several times throughout the course of his career. The Grammy winning, the Grammy winner was accused of hitting a woman during an argument at a Los Angeles residence in 2021.
Yeah.
But he also has a longer history of detailed legal battles throughout the past two decades, including obviously the infamous 2009 assault of singer and then girlfriend Rihanna on Grammy's night. In 2013, a woman accused Chris Brown of shoving her to the ground in a nightclub in California, though no charges were filed. Chris Brown was also convicted of a misdemeanor stemming from a 2015 assault charge by a woman in Colorado. No charges were filed in 2016, Las Vegas club, another altercation with a woman who accused Chris Brown of punching her in the face, but Brown faced charges for assault with a deadly weapon later that year for a woman who claimed that he pointed a gun in her face. That charge did not result in a conviction. 2017, a judge granted Brown's ex-girlfriend and model, Carucci, a request for a restraining order after she claimed the singer threatened to kill her. 2 years later, the singer was taken into custody by the authorities in Paris for sexual assault allegations, but was later released without any charges filed against him. So you are our resident lawyer on the show. Mm-hmm. What does it mean if there's all these accusations, but none of them are resulting in convictions? How should we interpret that information?
That goes one of two ways, right? So it's either these people are lying, or they don't want to go, either they're lying or it doesn't.
Who's they?
The victims, the alleged victims, right? So either they're lying and you just, you know, you jump on that, oh, he assaulted Rihanna, so I'm going to jump on that bandwagon and try get a name for myself or just punish this man for whatever it is, right? So there's that possibility. What's probably more likely is he is a violent man. And these people often
you
don't
said
want...
more likely.
Yeah, I think it's more likely. And he's a violent man, and some people don't want to put themselves through a whole case, especially with a celebrity, because very, very easily, and we see it a lot with... Nowadays, there's a very rich stan culture, right? Next thing, you take him to court, and then you're cyberbullied all the way out of the internet by, all the way out of the internet by the stans, or even just
don't you trigger
yourself over and over again, reliving what could be a very traumatic moment for you. That's probably why sometimes people don't push through with like full, you know, full.
So the triggering thing, I hear you. I hear that, and that's an absolutely valid point, right? Mm-hmm. But like, I feel like, especially when you're dealing with a character like Chris Brown, like, wouldn't you want to take it all the way to court just because there's a high likelihood you're going to win? Because obviously he had one of the most high profile, you know, domestic violence cases, right?
Mm-hmm.
From all the way back in 2009.
Yeah.
So if you come out and you're like, hey, this guy hit me in a club. Again, if you push through, there's a higher likelihood that you're going to, the betting money is that people are, and if it goes to the jury or whatever, the court system is set up like, you're probably going to believe you, right? Unless, again, like you said, they're just fishing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if it's something that can't be proved, for example. Or, again, if it is someone that's trying to take him down, mm-hmm. and they know all they have to do is say, hey, bro, unchild. And most people are going to believe it on the spot and just be like, yeah, no. Like Senna said, 2 minutes ago, he's a violent human being. That's probably the sentiment of a lot of people.
That's it. And I don't say he is. I said it's likely that he is. Well, probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because he beat up Rihanna, so maybe it's a matter of fact. Sorry.
No, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
With the Rihanna one, again, what people are saying is that they were both weaving each other. Right, like in terms of the relationship, so that one is just, to me, I chalk that up as that's just a terrible relationship, period. The two of them, they were, I think he was like 18, 17, something like that, right? So it's like, at that point, the two of them were not good for each other. It's two budding superstars. The world is like, oh, you two are amazing, da 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 da, you guys are killing it, right? That, to me, that one, I look at it a bit more with a bit more scrutiny. Not
what do you mean by that, scrutiny? Oh,
you know, in the sense that, like, if the other charges are true, right? Like, for example, pointing a gun at a woman or threatening mm-hmm. to kill another woman,
mm-hmm.
there's I struggle to think of like any type of discussions that you could have to get to a point where you point a gun at someone or you threaten 100%. To kill them. You see what I mean? So that's where I say, like, there's really almost zero sympathy for Chris Brown from my end. Right, because I'm like, nah, I don't care what you're doing and saying, you know, like, especially with your past that you have and you know what has happened, you should be doing better, right? But then the 2009 incident was the first time that I had ever heard of Chris Brown having such an incident, right? So if then you add in more context of that particular time, which, you know, these guys were with China, then I look at it differently in the sense that the two of you are in the wrong. Right, like,
no.
he snapped, right? But at the same time, if you're being weaved, it's like that's very important context in terms of how I will look at a situation.
Yes, so I see what you mean about fighting and whatever. And then Mampinja also come out and say the same thing when he was accused of, you know, abusing Babes Wadum, and then he said, no, we're fighting. But my guy, you're a 100 kg man. She is, I don't even think she looks like she touches 60 kgs. I think there comes a point in time where you apply further, you know how you're applying context to, but they were fighting. Apply the further context to say, no, but look, dude, first of all, you're a man, she's a woman, she's petite. Isn't he like 6 foot something?
Probably like six
fighting.
But again, as a if they're both.
Man, are you doing with a petite woman? We can't call it fighting.
No. If they're both, like, I'm assuming, because if he was like 17, 18, I assume Rihanna was of a similar age, right?
Yeah, they were 19, 18 at the time.
Yeah, and at that point, and also the age that we were in, right? It's right now, in this context, in this climate, it's like, oh, wow, really, there's no way, right? But if you take it back to 2009, it's a different climate that we're in as a society. So a couple fighting was seen slightly differently, in as much as, yeah, you're still going to end up on the conclusion like, no, as a man, you must never lay a finger on a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it is one of those things where if the two of you are fighting, because I always have this conversation. I've had this conversation with, you know, with my cousins and my wife, and like guys, don't do this thing of like, I was a child. There is no contract anywhere with the code of honor. No matter what you do, I mean, I'm not going to do anything back.
No, right? but
don't operate with that mindset. Like, but just, you have I don't recommend. No, because I don't go around trying to fight bouncers at the club. Because I know a bouncer will fold me in half.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no matter the discussion I'm having with the bouncer or disagreement or whatever,
yeah,
at the end of the day, it's like, all I'm saying is, both parties, there is no, it's a zero tolerance to violence on both sides.
Yeah.
Right? No matter what, zero tolerance to violence.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, right, if you guys are both young and then you go at each other, it's like, I'm trying to get the two of you out of that situation because you are not good for each other. You guys are both problematic to get to a point where you're weaving someone as a man, as a woman. You, as a woman trying to beat up someone, like, again, that's a problem already.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even need to put Uti as a man. If the sentence starts with "Senna assaulted," doesn't matter. Whether it's a man or a woman on the end of that sentence, it's a problem. A big problem. You see what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's where, like, I'm looking at that. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. It's a different context if you guys are beating each other up. Because clearly, you guys have made some things okay in your relationship. And in a relationship where you guys are beating each other up, that is terrible on all accounts. On all accounts. Right? But then with the other accusations, again, it sounds very one-sided. That, hey, bruh, if you're threatening to kill someone, again, offside. And it makes you look worse in terms of, now if you look back at the Rihanna situation, like, what if Rihanna, you know, thought she was fighting for her life, right?
Yeah.
Because if other people are accusing you of all these other things, maybe she was in a situation where she was backed into a corner and she's like, listen, me, I'm Caribbean, bro. I stand on business.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go, right? So it's a very complicated conversation.
I don't think it is. I think as a man, unless you are literally fearing for your life, I think avoid getting into physical altercations with women.
But what if he says he was? What if Chris Brown told you now, Senna, I feared for my life in that moment and I snapped?
But then he could have argued it was self-defense, but he went the next day, he pleaded guilty to punching her on the head or whatever it is that he did several times. And then he was arrested, caught a case, and she got a restraining order against him. So that's, you know, in as much as you can say, we were fighting, you know, it's like, I'm carrying a gun, you're carrying a knife. It's a fight, but it's not a fair fight. No, is it? It's different. It's different scenarios altogether. I'm trying to get at what you're trying to say. Are you trying to say, Uti, he shouldn't be sort of ostracized because, you know, maybe back then it was a fight and not abuse?
No. So what I'm saying is, before that context that I read out from that article, right?
Yeah.
That's how I felt. That is how I felt. Like, why are we ostracizing him if he hasn't had an incident since that? Like, he messed up. He, like you said, he was convicted. He's done the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then when I read that article, if all that stuff is true, then, again, I can't blame any sponsors that are not trying to work with this guy.
Yeah, didn't he try to beat up Drake at some point?
Yeah, but that's Drake, bro. Drake is always...
You know what I mean, right?
No, but Drake is always in the crosshairs of someone, bro.
Look, I can see why maybe a lot of his fans and a lot of his sympathizers be like, no, but guys, they ran a thing so long ago. You know, he's changed, he's reformed, he's this, he's that. And I think that's what you get a lot when it comes to Chris Brown versus any other celebrity that's... male celebrity, that is, that people have tried to cancel. I think he has a bit more sympathizers than most. Probably because
Of the timing. I'm glad you said that.
Probably because of maybe the timing of when some of his things happened. It was before the Me Too movement sort of like became...
Nah, bro. This guy was catching accusations consistently every 2 to 3 years.
No. That article, but I'm just saying that perhaps... I'm just thinking that, you know, the fact that... back in the day, maybe post 20. When did the Me Too thing start happening? 2019? Thereabout?
Somewhere there,
right? And then from when the Me Too movement became such a big thing, we even saw it now with the Jonathan Majors situation. to an extent where maybe perhaps his issues were a lot before that time, so people are like, no, you know, relax. But I tend to view him specifically, as far as cancel culture is concerned, as having been treated very lightly by...
So here's what I'd say.
Yeah.
Right. You are saying Gutikona, he's got locusin. Salt. Oh, my bad. So you're saying Gutikona, you know, he's got sympathizers and all this and the third, and like, you know, people are like trying to move past it and stuff, right?
Yeah, he does.
But here's what I'd say. Yes, Chris Brown has supporters and, you know, people are like, yeah, let's move on, whatever. And again, this is why I had two kind of things when I reflected on it. I was like, but like, why is it, you know, I had to find a random comment deep in the comments on Instagram to find access to this information, right? Like, why isn't it like a... Because again, if he's been on that role for the last 10 years at least, my man should be fully cancelled. Like, if this is how you're moving, right? You actually should be fully... Because you're not learning your lesson. Clearly, like Senna is saying, if Senna can now come to a conclusion like, hey, bro, Chukwuti, you've got a problem. And I would agree with that too. Because if that is every 2 to 3 years, someone's accusing you of something, if that's true, then that's a big problem. But then also as society, how come no one has said anything about it? You know what I mean? Like, he's continued to put out music since the Rihanna incident. And you know what I mean? Like, with R. Kelly, you play an R. Kelly song now, people are looking at you, you know, all types of shade, right? But like, R. Kelly was, he was dealt with years ago, right? And he's still dealing with the sins of his crimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. But like, why isn't the energy for Chris Brown been the same? You know what I mean? Like, in terms of like, if this is how he's actually moving in the streets, you know, so
that's why do you think that is two. Before I chime in?
So I think it's because, again, R. Kelly was convicted, right? Ever since the Rihanna situation, he hasn't been convicted of any of these things. So maybe, you know, people are, I don't know, maybe, who knows, maybe his publicist is putting it out there that, bro, these hands are just, it's fake news, they're just trying to comfort him, make a quick buck, settlement money, who knows, because I really don't have the information. Right, okay. But well, like, the facts just say he's been accused at least 4 or 5 times and convicted none ever since 2009. But on the same pendulum, you have Dr. Dre, who has a much more egregious domestic violence case.
Dr. Dre.
And I think it's the Grammys, if I'm not mistaken, that has named an award after this dude. Right? So like, where's the balance? Where's the balance? So go on. So because I'm just reading the locusin. The reason that Dr. Dre was divorced is because of the domestic violence case, right? Yeah, and that's relatively recent in terms of his divorce case. Like the when it got finalized, like that's within maybe the last 1 or 2 years that shit happened. Mm-hmm. But it's like, why are we still Gatteas celebrating Dr. Dre? You know, so clearly there's we have room for forgiveness, right? But we're picking and choosing who we're forgiving, who we're cool with, and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, I can list off a bunch of other celebrities who are being cancelled, about Jonathan Majors, a couple other people, where people are looking the other way. But how is it someone like Dre, who again, love his music, but like getting a whole award named after him? And no one has ever talked about, hey, cancel Dr. Dre. I've never seen that on the internet. Mm-hmm.
I think his fan base plays a very, very big part in whether or not he gets cancelled or not. He has a very big fan base, and he's a superstar, the Chris Brown, that is. He's a superstar in a way which I'll probably compare it to Michael Jackson. You could try and cancel Michael Jackson today, you fail. Right, because I think there's a certain level of celebrity and superstar that you reach where you're almost untouchable. Right, if you can wake up.
But do you think it's more so if your base fans are older, right? So less on the internet, right? So you'd say the majority of social media, the more is our generation,
the more defenders you have on the internet, the better you are. So look at R. Kelly. R. Kelly R. Kelly is a pedophile, heinous human being, all of that, right? Now imagine if the younger generation that's on social media now, like, loved his music. Like, we're talking, like, you know, we love R. Kelly, like, to that extent. Do you think he'd have been cancelled in the same way? Probably not. People be like, no, we need
I think his strongest defenders are just not on the internet. That's my R. Kelly, with Dre, any of these older dudes. I just think their strongest defenders are just not there, and even their strongest haters,
they're just not,
probably not on the internet.
They're not online. They're probably, like, the Dre thing, I don't think most people know. I didn't know that. So that's how you see Uguti. Sometimes where your fan base is, how big they are, how active on social media they are. They can make things happen, right? And then when something happens, you will literally see posts from many women saying, but Chris Brown's changed, right? And you will see, like, a lot of that on the internet. It helps that he's conventionally attractive, if that makes sense.
Suleiman crush.
But I'm just saying, Guti, let's face reality, right? If we're talking about, I don't know who, Trey Songz had a case put against him. Like, he had some accusations a couple of years back. That shit disappeared so very quickly. So it's either, if you're like a very, very big superstar, or, you know, some people find you attractive, you'll have sympathizers online. I'm not saying Guti plays a role, but subconsciously, I think people tend to treat you more with kids gloves.
But also, you know that it's about, you know, there's certain people and entities who are, you know, culture movers, and, like, you're relevant, right? So I think part of why at the time, like, Kevin Hart lost his Oscars gig is because he's a big name, right? And there was a lot of reaction, right? On both sides, there's a lot of reaction. But you look at some of these guys, like, for example, like, even though Dr. Dre is a legend in the hip-hop game, legend, top legend, right? But, like, he's an old head. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, there's not really many people in our generation and younger who will wake up in the morning and have smoke for Dre, right? There'll be one or two think pieces that you have to go look for. Even with Chris Brown got tasty, and I think that's why he's probably skated past the last 10 years, because he's just not been as relevant in the music space. So even if you go on a I hate Chris Brown tirade, it's, you're not going to get clicks like that.
But he would.
I mean? Like, it's,
he would argue that he's lost a lot of opportunities because of that.
Oh, right? Yeah, absolutely.
So I think there was the one,
absolutely,
the Michael Jackson thing that he'd prepared and he rehearsed for some awards performance, and then they canceled on him like a month or a couple of weeks before, and they were like, actually,
really?
Never mind. Yeah. He'd done like a whole choreography in honor of Michael Jackson. There were videos and everything that he then released afterwards to say, well, I was disinvited, so hey, this is what I prepared. So he might argue, no, actually, you guys might think I'm not cancelled, but I've lost a lot of opportunities.
So from a business point of view, where it's not front and center for us as consumers,
maybe,
you think there's still Ziyakhala for him.
But I think the conversation we're having is more on a, you know, on our end, right? At this level, as the normal consumers of music and social media. In that respect, he's not being cancelled, right? He can release a song today, and he'll release an album, and he'll be streamed for days.
I mean, he released one, I think, last year, right?
I'm not sure.
It had like 43 songs, and I was like, guy, who's listening to 43? So that's powerful.
But what it does show is how difficult cancel culture actually is. How difficult it is to try and be consistent with these things, like canceling someone. It's very difficult, because he might do something that you're like, where, like, for example, we're having this conversation where you might be like, no, but he shouldn't be canceled for that. And I'll be like, no, but he should. And then someone else will be like, yeah, no, but he should be canceled. And then they'll still go and stream R. Kelly, or vice versa. They'll cancel R. Kelly.
Yeah.
And then Chris Brown releases a song, and then they're the first people sharing it on IG or whatever it is, right? So it it's just difficult to have sort of that consistency. And I think for him, that's something he has to live with, unfortunately. You know, that it might, and some people may not come around. Some people will be sitting in the exec rooms of the NBA sponsors, and it might be a woman who may have been previously abused, and they'll be like, no, I don't want to, you know, sponsor an event where an abuser is performing. It's not going to be the case. But yeah, man, do you think they should have let him perform?
At the game?
Yeah, at the All-Stars. All-Star event.
Yeah, I think you should.
Or play, again, rather.
So, okay, I don't know anymore. So initially, I was like, absolutely. That's, again, if he's paying for the sins of Rihanna, of that incident, then I think at some point, or again, the bigger question is, when do we forgive? When do we allow people to try and be better, right? If that was an isolated incident, when do we allow people to reintegrate into society and try to be a better version of themselves? However, with that article ringing in my mind, I get it. I'm like, you know what? If that's the case, because my thing is, I will put my neck out for you if you're actively trying to get yourself better, right? If it's a case of, no, I messed up, I'm sorry, and I want to be a better person, then cool. In my book, I will give you that opportunity. But if it's like, hey, bro, it's back, you know what I mean? Like, it's at least, if it was one accusation, you'd be like, ah, okay, someone's trying to come for it. But it was like four or five, dog. It's like, ah!
Mm-hmm.
Ah! And it's different times. You know? Like, at least if it's like, ah, you know what, in 2014, six accusations and nothing. It's like, you can try to make a case, right? Mm-hmm. And you hear what his argument is. But like, you know, like 2012, 2014, 15, 16, 2021. Like,
something every year, right?
Yeah, it's like maybe these people are being extra, but at least one of the five, like, you know what I mean? And it's like, that you're a repeat offender to me. So it's like I get it. Like, so I just don't, my question to him would now be like, Gadi Chief, if you have this rap sheet to this day, how can you be shocked? I can understand him being annoyed by the NBA approaching him,
and
he has every right to be like, brah,
I was sitting
at
home,
right?
You know, it's not like I
applied. Yeah, exactly. I didn't beg you guys to come and play basketball. You guys came to me. So I can understand his annoyance at the NBA. But, and to be fair, he really was annoyed with the NBA. I think he wasn't like, he wasn't trying to say, hey, guys, I've been good. What did I ever do to you guys? You know what I mean? Mm. So like, that's not the argument that he ever tried to make.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I understand that frustration, right? It's like, guys, leave me alone, right?
Yeah.
Like, yes, yeah. You don't rate me, you think I should be cancelled, it's fine. Don't invite me and then disinvite me. Because that's a bit, that's a bit of a frustrating thing. Look, I think I've always been a bit, I'm all for holding people accountable. Let's do that. But the difficulty with cancel culture comes in the consistency. Because you then end up being bullied to cancel someone that someone else doesn't rate, and then you then have to sit and listen to them justify all the reasons why the other artist
why was the reason
can still be streamed, right? So it just makes it a bit complicated. I hope he's getting the help that he needs to deal with his anger issues, because clearly he's got
yeah color for sure. But anyway, let's move right along. Guys, add us and let us know. But yeah, no, I think if that article is accurate, then H, bruh. It was from USA Today, for anyone who's curious.
Yeah.
But hey, bruh, it's peak. quick, on a lighter note, quick shout out to Sabil.
Mm.
He's had two tweets that were bangers that I noticed over the last few days. So shout out to him, because, you know, Samuel is a shooter. Mm-hmm. That's what I'll say. Shooters shoot, you know. Sometimes you miss, sometimes it's a hit. He had two hits in, Bayern announced that Thomas Tuchel is leaving at the end of the season.
Yep.
That's hilarious.
That was coming. I mean, the way.
I hope all the Chelsea fans can now see, Tuchel, this Tuchel, bruh, like. your six stars at Chelsea, you guys are just, we've just had coaches who've just been so terrible. Tuchel looks amazing. But like, I was not impressed with Tuchel post Champions League. He was very suspect. And I'm glad he got found out. I'm very happy that he got found out. But let me see here. I'm just scrolling here. Hey, right. Here's the first tweet. So someone tweeted, what's some rich shit you do even though you're not rich?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Sabolo quotes the tweet. It says two ply. So that's a bang. It's up there for tweet of the week. The second one is someone tweeted out, what are Bulawayo's four districts? Right. So then he says, number one, Emayati. Number two, Etown. Number three, Elogichin. And number four, Country Park.
Your Country Park is far, dog.
Bro, all at the city. Listen, I have a story actually about that. Like, I up to December, this past December when I was in Skies, I'd never been to Country Park. Never. And I just heard about it. So people, hey, Country Park this, Country Park that. The only park I've been to is Romney Park. That's the only park that I know. And what is it? Centurion? Is it Century Park? I don't even know what the fuck it's called. Next to Tower Block. Not next to Tower, like down the road, bro.
Oh,
like
Centenary Park. Ascot.
Centenary. I knew it was Sun something. Like,
you clearly never.
Where are the wedding photos?
You clearly never jolled in blues, ne? Like.
No. No, I'm too young for that. First of all, Senna, if you were out here taking babes at your age to Centenary Park, you are whack.
Not at my age.
At any point in your life, you are way too young, fam. Like, that thing was dead by the time that we were in high school.
Yeah, I have an explanation.
What's your explanation?
What are you going to do? Schools are closed, right? So there's people at home, can't take your person home. Mm. There's people at her home, you can't go over to her place. So you're going to meet...
Go to BC.
Yeah, dude. All of that. Like, literally. Do you know how long a school holiday, especially the December ones, when you're dating in high school?
Senna.
Like, you literally...
Centenary Park.
Man, let me explain. By that time, you have exhausted every single thing there is in Bulawayo to do, right? You've done BC. So
what form were you in? Let's start there.
Form 3, Form 4.
Aye. Okay, so what did you guys do at the park?
Nothing, you just chill.
You just sat on the bench?
Yeah, sit on the bench, chill for a bit, buy food, chill by the bench, go to the museum. Mr. Maps, I'm a married man. You can't ask me these questions. But there's so many things. You can go to the museum, you can take a walk. Because here's the thing. Can I tell you something? At around Form 3, Form 4, even Lower 6 to be honest, you don't have what many people call, that's the base where you can chill. You can't bring your person home, you can't go to their house. Literally.
Yeah, no,
and,
I get
and
it.
It's school holidays,
we all had
right?
the same struggle.
School holidays. You've probably done Hillside Dams 5 times already in the space of the first 2 weeks of the holiday, right? There's a whole other 2-3 weeks left before schools open. So you've got, you've done Hillside Dams, you've done BC. And one of my biggest criticisms of Zim at the time when we were in high school was, dude, there was very little to do in terms of entertainment. And probably that's how a lot of young people feel now. You know, and on top of that,
how did
right,
you where did you guys where did you guys where did she stay? I know where you stayed. Where did she stay?
Mahachula.
Fuck, where's Mahachula?
Mahachula, Harare Road.
Like Ngale by Hoodville.
Yeah. So,
sure.
So already, right? And also, you're a teenager, right? You don't really have like money to be going on dates all the time. So it's not like you
this is your fault.
Let's go to Cafe Munandi today and then tomorrow and then the next day and then the next day. At some point, when you're in high school, you're going to have to meet your person and they're like, right, right, what are we doing? Let's just chill in town. And then you'll umbe in town, and then you're like, okay, can we sit somewhere? Right, you go sit somewhere. And eventually, you're like, you've gone through everything, and like, Blues is not a big city.
No, guys, no, but to resort to the park, I get it now. The babe lives in Machula, bro. Ngali, that's Kuvuka, bro. That's quarter to Harare. So, like, but also, this is why. Where you lived when we were growing up in Zim, very, very important. Like, that's why you had to find a ting or sell in my area. Because then you just chill. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's like you're not at each other's house.
Chill where?
Like, you can just link up. Anyway, and chill where?
Okay, right. All right, fine. Let's say, hypothetically, in high school, I dated a girl who lived in Burnside. Where are we going to? We can't chill in my house. Can't chill at her house. Where are we going to chill? Besides,
bro, you're going anywhere.
Where?
Chill by the street. Chill by the street and put soosh, bruh. Like, it's you make a plan.
Do you know how you make tiring standing is? Like, just standing and walking. At some point, you'll just be like,
when you're in love, it's not tiring. You know, I used to have this neighbor, bro. She lived next door, but I think it was one of those situations where she'd only come over the holidays. Mm-hmm. She went to, where did she go? Like, either Townsend or Evelyn or something like that. It's like Goffle Adam. She was dope, like half black, half Goffle. Cool chick. We used to talk. So, like, literally, before we got an electric fence, I'd just sit on the juro, bro. And then we just talk. Of which, this is how you know, like, when you're a kid, you're dumb as shit. Because I'm like, why didn't I just leave the gate and then we just met? Like, the house is literally next to each other. Why don't we just meet on the street? Why am I climbing onto the wall? But whatever. That's besides the point. But yeah, you turn on the wall, talk to her, like, the whole afternoon. And obviously, in Zim, I will have my kids. So, power goes at 2. So, you boot search from 2 until your parents come home. It's just, home court advantage is very important, Mr. Moore. That's all. 100%. Like, it's just easier. You can't do... That's long distance in Zim. You know, when you're growing up, that's long... Burnside to Mahachula, that's a long distance relationship, my guy.
Yeah, so then, where's the solution, right? Let's meet in town. I don't have a car.
Solution is either recruit more talent or make a plan.
You see...
Pass your driver's license. You're busy bailing there at VIP.
But also, to be honest, that doesn't fix... I didn't have a car as well, right? I didn't have a car, I didn't have money... So you probably only have enough to go to town and get some food.
Sena, you're giving me way too many excuses.
No, it's not excuses. Too literally. Many excuses. Okay.
It's excuses.
I'm explaining to you.
You could have been dealing drugs, you could have been doing something. Hi. Like, you know, you could have been hustling. Hustle mentality. Indo Damast. Where's the creativity?
But that, you know, was the creativity. Centenary Park was the creativity.
Yo,
because then literally,
I'm so sorry to this boy. This is an apology from the podcast. Like, he's a better man now. Do you know how many women are probably scarred because of some of the dumb shit that we did as kids, and they're watching us go and get married and treat other men? I'd be personally,
what
personally,
do you mean?
You me? I would be pissed.
Why would you be pissed?
I'd be pissed. No, genuinely, no, I would be pissed if I see Senna taking his wife to wherever, some beautiful place in Cape Town, and it's like views, and it's like, it's just this whole thing. Meanwhile, Senna had me sat on a bench in Centenary Park. Nah, that's very offensive.
It's not offensive, dog. It's not offensive.
No. Get a license to call her and say sorry. Tell your wife that you just need to call someone tonight to apologize.
No, but look at it.
Just
but you're sorry. You're not looking at it from this perspective, right? Now, a school holiday in December is about 4.5 weeks, right? Maybe even 5, depending on when. No, I'm not reaching.
It was 3 weeks, 4 at the max.
Well, if you remove... No, it was 5 weeks. The holiday in December was 5 weeks. Minus. Let me tell you, schools would open mid-Jan, and we would close early December. Close first week of December. That's when schools were closed.
You said schools open mid-Jan?
Yeah, second week of Jan.
Oh, you're talking about third term to first term. So yeah, that's the longest
that's
period.
A long holiday,
that's the longest
right?
holiday.
So let's say...
But like, what about second term and first term holiday?
Then you do other things, right? That's 4 weeks still, right? But I'm just explaining the one holiday that plays in my mind a lot, right? So let's say it was a December holiday where maybe I've got a couple of dollars here and there. Every now and again, Renz would give you $5, $10, or you hustle, have some money somehow, right? Let's say first day you go to Cafe Munandi, or you go to Hefeli's, or maybe you go to some eating place in town, right? By that time, that's already 3 days. You know, FFP also plays a part, right? Because you're not trying to like finish your money. You're a broke teenager, right? Oh, and then you might do Hillside Dams the one day. That means two combis for the other person, or it means you have to get her a cab or whatever it is. Or another day you might do
taxi.
Back then there was no smokehouse at the time, so. You know, most people were meeting in town, and even if you didn't meet in town, all the other places where you could meet were just too expensive for teenagers, right? If you had to go to Banff or whoever, right? It's too expensive when you're growing up and you're up and coming, right? Not gonna work. So then, imali yaphela, and then you start getting creative. Okay, cool. Maybe on this day we can still see each other. You know, we don't have to not see each other. But instead of just embarrassing in town, just getting, also it's hot, let's actually just go chill in the shade by a bench. Yes, there might be the odd homeless guy who will walk around and...
Oh my God! I am Zulu myself.
Now, I wasn't...
This is why you must have a ting, at church. Have a ting in the hood.
No, that's not like, me.
Squad is important. No, you're starting 11.
No.
Your starting 11 is very, very
important. I don't do squad things. But anyways, and then the good thing is there's a museum right there. So if you feel like going to the museum, you can go to the museum. If you feel like taking a walk to a restaurant in suburbs, it's literally just around the corner.
Mm.
And it's central, right? And you could actually chill, which is one thing which is very difficult to do when you're actually in town. You can chill at the park without spending money. When you are in town, right? In town, you are everywhere. Set. You go, Shalapansi, it's
$5. Take your babe with sunflower. Those chips are $1.
Don't you think I best did chips that?
In the city.
There's nothing I didn't do.
What are you doing about $5? $5 in England.
No, but here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Buy her donut. Donut was 50 right. cents back in
Sis
the day.
Sis Tengi donut. All right. Sis Tengi Russian Lama chips. Where are we going to eat them? We're just going to eat their raw sunflower.
You're gonna buy next to the church.
You can't do that.
What's that church?
Is it Universal?
No, man. It used to be a cinema. Is it not big? No, not Hope. Fuck. That Pentecostal item.
Yeah, isn't it? It's not Universal Church of Christ or something. Or maybe not. I've forgotten. But there was a church there, I remember. Next to what was the old cinema. That's no longer cinema.
Yes.
But in any event, what I'm trying to say is, you know, back then, options were very limited, budget was tight, time was a lot, so you then had to like be creative in terms of what you do. You had to maximize.
Take your babe to Mabogweni, take it to Dams, take it to where did we else? There was Redwood.
All right, like, Redwood. Right? Can you see? Yeah, I think sometimes you actually speak from a point of privilege in a way that I don't think you realize. I just spent this whole time
not even
explaining.
I had no car.
I just spent this whole time.
The same period. Money. I had no car. I had no car in that period.
Money was tight.
Money was also tight. Sena, we all have 24 hours. Me, I also didn't have money. I'm not trying to say it. I had money to do all these things.
How did you get to Redwood?
You pull resources. You have a homie that drives.
None of my homies drove.
There's
no
street day, bruh. Yeah. So
we were literally 16, 17, right? Who were form 4, lower 6, form 3, whatever it is. We were sick. We were teenagers.
So now we had older friends, did we not? We had older friends.
Who could wake up and just say, we're driving to Redwood?
We were with maybe one or two days notice.
No! Dude, which friends did you have that could wake up and be like, Tabo, I'm driving to Redwood? I didn't have those friends.
We were 15, 16, right? At that point, we had friends who were 16, 17, 18 years old. Still in
school, I didn't have friends who were that age who could drive me to Redwood. Only time I could go to Redwood is if my sister and a boyfriend at the time were like, come, let's go. But
you see, that's another resource. That's another resource there. You go to your sister and be like, hey, or you go to your sister's boyfriend and be like, Chief, convince her, let's go. Me, I also have a plan here. I've got my my pie in the car. Let's go.
Let's check. I actually think...
This is what I'm saying. I think mobilization of resources, Mr. Moyo, is the way you are missing the plot here.
I honestly think Centenary Park. You are being a bit disillusioned with the life of a teenager in Zimbabwe. Why do you think the Vuzu Party started being such
a big thing? I lived that life. What do you mean, fam?
I don't think so. Thabo, you woke up and went to Redwood when on a date, random school holiday, with $5 in your pocket.
You're making it seem like I would literally wake up and be like, guys, let's move. No. All I'm saying is 2 or 3 days notice. Hey, gents, what we say? Oh, really, it would just be things are always going on. There's fireworks, there's drag races, there's all these different things that was going on.
In a school holiday, Monday to Friday, you're sitting, and we're seeing each other 4 times a week or however times a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling me with every single day, right, we're going to this, we're going to that?
No, not every day, but I'm just saying there's no need to go to Centenary Park. That's all. The only thing I'm said here, Sena, is there's no need to go to Centenary Park.
No, but there were no options sometimes, right? So sometimes maybe you just literally, aslamali, we just want to see each other, right? Like, let's just hang out. I can't come to your house. You can't come to my house. Money's tight. None of my friends drive. Excuse Mr. Maps, when you had friends who drive. I didn't have friends who drove. Right? None of my friends.
Sena, that's not true. I can start naming people now. Mutual friends of ours who were.
And maybe they were your friends, but maybe they weren't my friends. Literally, all of my close friends in high school, none of them drove. Milo didn't drive. Niles didn't drive. JR didn't drive. JR started driving in, lower six or whatever it is. But by that time, also, you've also grown up. You're studying some of the times. And during that period, I am literally telling you, Uguti, there were limitations, and I worked with what I had.
Okay. All I'm saying is Indo Damast. That's all I'm saying. That's the standard, okay? As in, Ndebele man who grew up in Bulawayo, no, oh baby, I couldn't, oh baby, there was no money. Those cannot be.
Yeah, but that's what Indo Damast. But I made a plan, right? Centenary Park was the plan because.
No, Centenary is not a plan.
Because I've done dams. I've done dams. Okay. I've done Haif. I've done movies. I've done all these little restaurants or whatever, that eating places you can find in town that are affordable. On some days, we literally don't do anything except just sit and talk, right? Where else are you going to do that?
You know, I've just had a thought.
Mm.
I just wish, the problem is we come from a very small city. And, you know, a lot of these things would be connected somehow, some way. And, you know, it would be a disaster. But I wish I could have some conversations and invite a few people onto the pod to talk about those days, the Mabugweni days, the Dams days. Just a few occasions there where, you know, like, hey, bruh, drag races, firework, like... I'm just, because my mind is not going back to all of these different things that was happening in Skies. Skies, there were things to do, fam. There were things to do in Skies. It's just...
I think no one's denying that there were things to do, right? There were things...
Financially feasible, rather. Let me say that. Yes. Financially feasible. You had and to... They were there.
And I said, we did all of those things. But there were times when things were a bit eh. So then you're like, okay, cool. I'll make a plan, at least just to see each other. Hang out for a few hours. There's benches at the park. Let's go. Right.
No, I know you're a lover boy. This is why you are the ultimate Disney princess. I don't think, anyway, guys, if you're listening to this and you also went to Centenary Park with your babe, and this is, I'm talking about, like, the oldest you can be is like from 1990, let's say. If you're an 80s baby, it doesn't count because, again, there was a time where that really was the spot, right? I know when I was a kid, around Christmas time, this was probably maybe like grade 5 for me.
Side note.
We'd go to Centenary Park and would do roller skating during the Christmas period, right? So, I know, it used to pop back in the day. So, like, again, if you're an auntie,
I don't mean the side with the water
and an uncle...
The,
you know,
the other side by the museum.
Oh, you're on the other side, by amphitheater, that's
by the amphitheater by the museum.
Okay.
Still
a few more
Park.
Bonus points. a few more. No, no. So don't say Centenary Park. Really,
it is Centenary Park.
Say
that.
Me, I thought you were by the fountain.
No.
Genuinely, I genuinely thought you were by that fountain. The benches which had no water.
I literally just said the museum. So you literally walk to the museum. It's like there.
Yeah, you can, but you can also walk from the other
and
side.
And there's benches. It's not that far. There's benches all around the amphitheater by the thing where the.
Yeah, there's benches on both. There's benches on both. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, me, in my mind, I thought you were on that side.
No, so, on the other side.
Okay.
When you're driving
opposite side.
Ascot on your left, museum, amphitheater side, Evelyn side, not Wilton side. But in any event, I understand anyone who went to Centenary Park. In fact, me, my story isn't even like the worst in terms of trying to make things graft in terms of dates and blues. I have heard horror
What do you
stories,
have to
right?
share? What, I know what do you guy, have to share with the class?
I know a guy during school holidays.
What's his name?
I can't say, Maps.
That's text me his name.
Me to
text me his
to
name.
Disclose.
No, but text me his name. I need to see.
When we were about, Form 3 or Form 2, before he left, actually. Or before they left, because I know...
Wait, hold on, text Apela, wait. Yeah, I need the context.
I just texted you names.
Wait, right? On WhatsApp?
Yeah, WhatsApp. So, what these guys used to do, right? And I'm telling you, dating on a budget when you're a teenager is not easy. Because mali yokugada, mali yokubuyela, and then mali yokudla when you get there. So, this brother, right, used to pack a scarf tin. When he'd go to town, because he wasn't trying to spend sheets when he got to town.
So I hear that.
So then he'd go to hair for whatever and then buy food for the day. And then he and I, he'd eat whatever he had from home.
Wait, so he'd pull out the food in hair?
In his cafe.
His food.
Mm-hmm. And then you...
Was that allowed?
No, it's not, right? Because he was told not to do it again. Or if you're just hanging out in town, eat at home, and then get to town and be like, nah, I'm not hungry. And then you
Eat at home, I understand. I understand.
But do you understand all the creative things that people had to do just to make things happen?
There was exactly why I said indota must. Hikope, that's being
indota. Centenary Park is also being indota.
Aye, offside, yeah.
But pulling out a scarf tin on a date is not an offside.
No. That one is a red card. That one is you yellow card. All right, fine. Offside is not even a yellow card. But that one is a red card.
But
that one
I think
is, there's no VAR.
I literally think all of the struggles we went through, teenagers trying to entertain ourselves in blues, is what ultimately led to a few years later when we'd left high school, the Vuzuphathi pandemic, right? Because literally, the city then realized, Uti, shit, there's nothing for children to do in the city, for teenagers to do in the city. Like, there's no entertainment, there's no cinemas, because I think the cinema closed down when we were in high school, and then it reopened again later.
They started showing, like, it was sad, bro. They would be showing old movies, like shit from, like, you see on ETV.
Yeah, I remember there was this old that I went to watch this one time, was it... it was some old movie that I'd even seen on ETV, but they were showing it and advertising in the cinema as a good time. But there were so many other places where then kids would then end up going. Then you had, that's how you end up with the pandemic, underage drinking, I'm a Vuzuphathi. So Vuzuphathi is in blues, for those who don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where parties that were now hosted by teenagers, we were done with high school at the time. But they would get reckless, right? There were drugs, there was sex, there was alcohol, it was just...
No, but the Vuzus were a thing even when we were in high school, bro. Like, maybe it didn't have the name Vuzu, but I think it even was there.
No, Vuzu was, wasn't a Vuzu, just a move. You know, it came
But no. I think there was Vuzu once on, like, that lower six, upper six part of y'all's career. A Vuzu was a thing. The only difference is, after you guys went to uni, it became some Bali did a newspaper article and started calling it. Oh, it was the police. The police started saying they busted an operation and it was like, it's a Vuzuphathi. That's where it became like but within circles of Lokuzen teenagers, a vuzu was a thing already.
Yeah, no, vuzu literally was just a general term to say we're going to a vuzu. A vuzu being either fireworks or we're going to a party or we're going to
whatever
it is, right?
Like, I mean, there was that. Didn't you hear about that one, that lokuzi? There was a party at someone's house. Let me not put the hood because then people. This is the problem. You can't say a lot of things because like you're not. I don't want smoke with no one. But there was a party. This was when I was in form two because I still lived in it. And hey, bro, this party was Bufum. So this was one of them. It was a. So someone's parents were out of town, right? Someone's parents were out of town. And this hun is like, hey, party at my house, and put the word out. This is like maybe let's go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, somewhere there at school.
Yeah.
So now, the yabs are now planning out. Zwanibani is having a party, and it's going to be on Saturday. It's going to be a lit thing, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So now I'm sitting there depressed, because I'm like, what lie could I possibly tell my parents to leave the house at like 6 or 7 episode? Like, it's just not happening. Mm-hmm. I didn't even bother to try. I was depressed for 2-3 days at school because mm-hmm. I was like, yo, this thing sounds like it's about to be a madness. And I'll explain why it was even touching. Cause it was within touching distance. I'll put it that way mm-hmm. for me. So, but the thing is, again, we hung up. You know what I mean? Like, where are you going? So, obviously, it had been a day party, different story. Man was free. But as soon as Reds are back and we're Saturdays, you're church, bro. Where are you going? Where are you going? So anyway, so from my point of view, sad thing. So the party goes, apparently lives up to the hype, according to the mandem. Right, so people are now giving us updates on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, brah, this Adam was lit. Hey, you know, like, hey, brah, like, yo, like, everyone is hyped, mm-hmm. right? Because everyone has a story. And then, Tolowuti, I'm just trying to think, I can't remember if she was my girlfriend at the time. I can't remember if we were dating or not, but I know it was within that period, maybe we were off. Right, but I think she was my girlfriend. I don't know. No, I don't think she was my girlfriend. But we had really same that same period of time could have passed. It was me and her were a thing, right? Toluguti, one of the seniors, went and chowed there, bro.
At the party,
bro.
The vuzum that party. You never went to,
bruh.
This is why you're always so committed to making a plan.
That's why I'm committed to groove, bro. Because I'm getting good to, bro.
Look,
it's
too much to enjoy
his
groove.
It's decades of trauma, my guy. Like, hey, and the thing is, the worst part about it is the person who was telling me didn't know, right? It's like someone who's just, I'm giving
relaying
a
summary of what happened at the vulture.
Exactly. So it for them, it's like they don't even notice, bro. They're just giving highlights of, hey, bro, this is what happened. The UAB was really the next dude was a year ahead of us. Child the Adam, really the stage. Then obviously someone in the group goes, but Maps, aren't those your team? Yeah, I'm just there like, but guys. So now I'm getting cooked. Because it was like, bruh. So you, because listen, it was peak. It was peak because it was again. I don't want to go into the full story, right? I'll tell you the rest of it off the mics.
Okay.
But what I was told, get Kalisa.
Dangerous.
Again, I think I can probably credit that moment. That was the villain arc, right there. That was the moment where it was just like, you know what? The streets are cold, fam. That's where Ubu Disney Princess at that point. And again, I don't even know why I expect it. It's like, you date someone and it's like that first time, you just think this is the person that you're going to marry. it's a joke thing now, right? Like, it's like, bruh, I was so stupid. But yeah, in the moment,
actually,
you're like, hey, this is my one and only, this one, mm-hmm. you know? And, bruh, I got pela. And it's just one of those things where you think of it now, you're like, yeah, no, this is the moment. And I don't think I ever addressed it with the person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. That's why I think we weren't dating at the time. But I know I was touched for days. Mm. No. It was a tough week. Bro.
Villain origin.
You've seen
story.
That clip of Michael B. Jordan at the Warriors game. That's yeah. like, a consistent gif.
So as you were listening to the yeah. story, you were just chilling there.
Exactly.
Like,
That was me. Mm. That was me.
That time
a team,
homework. Okay, Bali. Teachers asking for homework. To be honest. I think I always say this. Going through a heartbreak when you live at home has to be the funniest thing ever.
Bro, it's the worst. My dad picks me up. I'm not in the mood because, again, I'm very chatty. You know, I've got things. I always had shit to say. Always had random shit to say to my dad.
Yeah.
Who had his own. Like, he's thinking about work and school fees and, hey, my kids and this and that. Me, I'm coming to tell my dad dumb shit every single day. Mm-hmm. Right? That day, Zwi, Pali's like, too late. Really, there's a silent ride home, bro. Because you can't even tell your dad, like, hey, bruh, me, I've just been told things will peak. Because also, I was kind of angry at the fact that this is the party that I could have gone to, but I couldn't
because
at the same time.
SDA, strict parents, curfew, all of it.
Exactly. So it was all just on my chest, like, yo, what if I was there?
Could I have stopped it?
I could have saved her. I could have saved it, bro. I could have saved it. But, hey, it is what it is, guys. Like, you see things, bro. You see things. But anyway, yeah, the next few years, definitely fun. I'll put it that way. They were fun.
Funniest day I ever went through. I didn't go through this, but my cousin did. My cousin, when he was staying with us, he went through something very, very funny. He got dumped by some girl in the afternoon. Oh, snap. I think your story is still killing me.
Said, so, I'm getting depression, bro. I'm getting depression. So, like, it's... You know, CBC owns are so disrespectful. like, genuinely... We would make it a point to just be a dick to each other.
Yes, 100%.
Like, that was what people would wake up in the morning, put on school uniform, just to be like, listen, I'm going to be a terror to these dudes. And, like, people just it lasted, like, 2 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks. People just still talking about it. And the problem is, again, the next urn is, let's say, at that time, a very popular guy. So
wait,
it's
can you
just,
text me his name and the Deja's name? Sorry, just in case.
What's that? You know this.
Yeah, just confirm. my cousin got dumped by some girl. Or he found out that some girl was cheating on him. I mean, in Jenga, but Korapas too. And then he came home in the evening. So, you know, like when, whenever the helper wasn't around at home, obviously, you know what happens? Mm. You pick up the mantle, you're doing the dishes, you're doing the cooking, whatever. So he gets home, he's just quiet. Like, okay, my guy, go ahead, do your thing. Does his thing, we do dishes. And then you just see a tear. A tear rolled down his eyes. Like,
oh man.
Like, and then, oh my guy.
Oh fuck.
What's going on?
And then when now?
Like, no, look, Zenini ish. No, Kwanze so Gambagan Jagan, like, Harry, my guy, Harry, sorry.
Mobile four.
Yes. We eat and then he's doing dishes. Now it's just awkward because you've met the man. He's very bubbly. He's chatty.
Yeah.
He's sociable.
Yeah.
that day. So now, what's awkward is, right? We can all visibly see at dinner, Oguti, no, there's something engekorai. Konde off. So then even the Rens pull me to say, oh, your brother okay? I'm like, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Oh, okay. Oh. And then he was just quiet the whole evening, which was unlike him. And then I just wondered, with how many people go through heartbreak in a black household and then just have to deal, do dishes, make dinner, sit down, have dinner, chill with the parents, be sociable, and then go to sleep with a broken heart.
Even worse, like maybe your parents are on one, bro.
Right?
On one. Ah, that's the worst. That's the worst. Oh, my God.
But in short, he broke up with that girl. What was funny is, I was so heartbroken, it was a side chick. So it was like, bruh, like, relax. It's okay, you still have...
Wait, so who dumped it?
The side.
Ah.
Yeah.
And then, so he had the main, and then he ended up ditching the main as well.
No, he didn't ditch the main. He was still with the main. The side is the one who just dumped him.
Yo.
So he had two hands, right? Yes. And then the one. Ooh. Right. And I wonder also how many times, you know, you think your father's in a bad mood, Kanti.
Yo, meanwhile, his work wife, bro, is showing him flames.
Sometimes work stays catching strays, bro.
Have you seen that, the Drewski clip that he dropped like last weekend?
Nah.
Ah, yeah, sin. Not even shaded. The one about the work bestie. You've seen the item.
Which
Adam? You didn't watch it.
Which Adam?
Check the DMs.
The
one where he's wearing the reflective jacket.
Okay, hold on. I didn't watch this. Sorry.
You're not serious.
People be happier in their work relationship more than the real relationship.
No, speak. But it made me laugh, fam. It made me laugh.
Sees his real family.
And his moon. Yelling at the kids, all that shit. I chucked you the names.
Yeah.
You see?
That time Niam Sabun Kalagat, I got nine. Ah, shit.
Anyway, we've all gone through it. I don't think I'm in the mental space. We'll leave the Amapiano thing for next week.
Yeah, but yes.
I'm not in the mental space now to think
about music.
Music.
It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good. No. Also gives me time to research and listen.
But anyway, yeah, no, guys, DM us. Oh, we have a Sia Zama. Oh my God, Senna.
Yebo.
Listen. Did you read it?
Nope. So I can react
I'll
live.
Read it. No, I'll read it. Oh my goodness. Yeah, no, this is a someone who interacts with us quite a bit. He has quite a few stories. He sent us quite a few siyazamas.
Okay.
So I see Abonga. E patronage. Yeah, the guy.
Keep the lights going.
Yeah, he's keeping the lights on, man. He's keeping the lights on. But real quick, guys, DM us, let us know you know, the Mjolo stories from high school, because those are the funniest. Hopefully you've healed from that. Because yeah, you'll see some flames there. But for anyone who doesn't know, Siyazama is the part of the podcast, or new listeners, part of the podcast where if you have anything to say, anything to DM us, a point of order, just reach out to us on Twitter at 6FootWeights, or email us at 6FootWeights @gmail.com, just the way the podcast is spelled.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you'll get in touch with us. No wahala.
Yebo.
So he says for episode 147, where you guys touched on scamming, this one babe at Groove. Oh, so he said, this one time at Groove, a babe took my phone for pictures. Next thing, she was asking me if she had given it back, or if she had given back the phone, which she didn't. Long story short, the device was stolen. I got my SIM replacement and new phone the next day, and I get buzzed by an unknown number.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that that guy, I suspect that guy, that was the guy with my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was the guy with my phone, and he was checking if I was back online. Just after, where am I here? Yeah, so just after I got the SMS, which came in reading Apple Inc. stating if your device, if you lost your iPhone, and it has been, what did it say? Stating that your lost iPhone has been found. There we go. Please follow the link to enable tracking.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't reported my phone stolen, but I just assumed that Babe had done so from her phone.
Mm.
Follow the link, and I kid you not, the webpage was exactly like what it would be on Apple.
Yep.
To confirm it was really me, they asked for the lock screen password. Which I then provided to activate the tracking. They asked for my iCloud. The very second I entered the password, the page disappeared on some error 404 type shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the link stopped working. By the time I went to the Apple site to change my password, there was no device linked to the account. Yo.
How? So they had unlinked.
I'm shy at 10-0.
Snap.
Yeah. That is actually so wild that they hit you. Like, that's too bad, bro. First, I take your phone. Then I get you to unlink your Arab.
Nah,
that's mad. That's mad. But, yo.
Yeah.
That's a hectic
situation. What a difficult. Shame, man.
Hectic situation.
Eesh. I hope they didn't, like, get access to, like, banking stuff. And all of them too.
I mean, at that point.
Because... You know, it the depends. Way your phone...
Because if you put in the lock screen password...
Yeah, you're basically late. Done, right? Because oftentimes your banking app and your... I don't know if people... Because once you have the lock screen password, you can change like a whole bunch of things on your phone. So hoping that your banking app doesn't have the same password or any other... You know, they don't have access to confidential information like that. Because that could be the end. That could ruin you. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Hey, yeah. I'd be in a panic because at that point, a lot of people save passwords on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's late. Because normally most people would try to flush the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But like Apple has put in safeguards. Yes, even if you flush it, like it's still not going to be unlinked to your Apple ID.
Yeah.
Until you'd say unlink. So it's not a usable phone.
Yeah.
So maybe they tried to flush it and they were just trying to, you know, make it usable.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, get sell off the phone and make a quick buck. But hard it, my guy, hard it. That's just how it is sometimes, the groove. I have a friend of mine who every New Year's, if it was not his phone, it was his wallet. Like, I don't know what level of nyama man was having for a few years there. It was just, it got to a point where something would happen and we're just never surprised. We're just like, standard. This is how Senna is.
Mm. Yeah. Shame, man.
But I don't know, his karma's good now. He's been on a good run. But I think shout out to the listener for sharing the story. Be careful out there, guys.
Stay woke.
I try to always make it a point when I go to Groove to put on jeans, you know, something tight, because people are pickpockets out here.
100%. I always have to have space for both my phone and my wife's phone when we go anyway, just because.
Yeah,
just because
when I wear I'm a pocketless outfit.
Yeah,
and it's like manju
pocketless and you know bags that don't fit the actual phone sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So then you must just be woke to that as well.
Nah, but anyway, it is what it is. Mr. Moe.
Yeah, but yes.
Or rather, not you. It's not about you. It's more about the people. Guys, like the thing, subscribe to the thing, keep retweeting the thing, and if you don't, we are inclined to believe that you're a hater. Mr. Moyer,
laters.